Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone, I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Radio Stakhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. We're recapping match day 33 in Spain's top division. We'll do it all well inside half an hour for you. We're starting off with the champions, who are another step closer to retaining their crown. In fact, Barcelona can clinch the La Liga title in the next week after beating Real Sociedad 2-1 at the Camp Nou. They took the lead on the stroke of half-time. Ousmane Dembélé with a corner headed home by fellow Frenchman Clément Longley. La Real's equaliser came on the hour. Juanmi stealing in behind the Barca back line after Mikel Merino played him in brilliantly, but Jordi Alba put the host straight back in front with a superbly drilled right foot finish. 2-1 is how it ended. And La Liga Lowdown's Roman Derqued was at the Camp Nou on Saturday night. How there, Roman? So how did Barcelona look after their midweek exploits in the Champions League?
Hi, David. Well, we didn't see Barca's best version, that's for sure. I mean, they knew they just had to get the job done, get those 3 points and stay 9 clear from Atletico de Madrid and not worry about any possible surprises. But so we just saw some flashes of their quality in this game and not much more, to be honest. Messi did have a few chances from that free kick position, but it wasn't one of those great games you'd want to watch.
Okay, let's have an update on Dembélé's return from injury and Philippe Coutinho's relationship with the Barcelona fans after his gesture after his goal against Manchester United. How do those situations look right now?
So Dembélé is still finding his peak form right now. He wasn't too good in this game, to be honest. I felt he was a bit lost on the field, and also he was lacking a bit of pace to find those through balls his teammates were feeding him. Whereas Coutinho, I must say, he was booed by lots of fans in the game. I mean, they weren't happy with that gesture he showed the other game. There was a lot of insults towards him too, which wasn't nice, to be honest. And I think he's going to have to show he can prove them wrong on the field, score more goals, give more passes, and play good games to end those boos and those insults.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. It was defeat, of course, for Real Sociedad. Just 1-9 for them now. But what positives can they take from this game, Roman?
Well, I mean, for them, the season was basically over. They still had some chances for Europa League, but that was really far away. So positives, I must say, maybe Juanmi. He scored 3 goals in the last 4 games. So that's really good for him because he had a tough start to the season. And then another positive was certainly the minutes that the youngsters are getting, such as Sangali, Barrenechea and Muñoz.
Yeah, we saw Barrenechea come in at the end of the game. Tell us a little bit about Ayen Muñoz. What do you know about him?
Well, originally he was a winger and now he's playing as a left back. So that comes to prove he knows how to attack when it's required. But he's a very disciplined guy, so he doesn't like to take too many risks. He knows he's still learning. He knows Alguacil is keeping an eye on him. He's giving him chances and he knows he has to provide good performances. And also he's managed to sit down Theo Hernandez in quite a few games in the past. So that's really positive for the future for him.
Now for Barcelona, if they beat Alaves on Tuesday and Atleti lose to Valencia on Wednesday, they will be crowned champions. But we also know it's Liverpool that they face in the Champions League semi-finals. Roman, are they the biggest threat left in the competition for you?
Out of the three teams, certainly. I mean, they're having a fantastic season in the Premier League, a fantastic season in the Champions League. And we know of their offensive prowess, their solid defence, that high pressure. I mean, that worries me quite a lot as a Barca fan. So I hope Valverde really looks into those aspects and can work on them with his players to actually make it through to the final.
Okay, from the top of the table to a battle of the bottom two, Rayo Vallecano welcoming Huesca, both desperate for the win to somehow reignite their survival hopes. What followed? Frantic goalless draw at Vallecas, Rayo dominating most of the game, José Ángel Pozo striking the post, Raúl de Tomás with a goal ruled out for a previous offside from Adrián Barba, but Huesca then woke up before the end, had a go, Alberto García had to make a couple of saves, Javier Cheta fired over the bar with the goal at his mercy, so 0-0 the final score. Roman, this was not a particularly high quality game. Were the keepers the best best two performers on the pitch for you?
Well, I think Rayo were superior, especially in the first 45 minutes where they had lots of chances through Pozzo, who hit the post, De Tomas, even Bebe generated some really good occasions. But in the end, it all came down to Santa Maria's performance, who was great defending the shots and all Rayo's attacks. So Santa Maria was certainly one of the best of the game.
It is one win, two draws and two defeats for Rayo under Paco Gemes. What difference meaningfully has he actually made to Rayo since his return?
Well, I think the team is way more ambitious offensively. They're generating more chances in attack, and they're also moving the ball really quickly and efficiently. And also, I mean, Paco Gemes has been in Rayo previously as a manager and as a player, so he was a logical pick by the board to try and get the job done.
And for Huesca, four draws in a row now, but that's just not good enough for them at this stage. Surely the chance to stay up has gone, and for Rayo as well, I would imagine.
I think for Huesca it certainly has, well, probably for both, but especially for Huesca. I get the feeling the players think so too, because these two last performances haven't been the Huesca we've seen previously. I mean, seeing that they're putting all that effort and barely getting anything in return, I think that must have really affected them somehow, and now they're not just as motivated to save themselves.
Cheers for that, Roman. Okay, let's head from Catalunya to the capital. Karim Benzema produced an excellent second-half performance as Real Madrid beat Athletic Club 3-0, the Frenchman scoring a hat-trick as his super-scoring spree continues. The first two were headers from a Marco Asensio cross and then from a Luka Modric corner, after which the Athletic keeper, Iago Herrerin, rushed out of his goal to head an upfield ball from Isco straight against his own defender, Yuri Bicicci, and sub Gareth Bale then laid the ball off to Benzema to lob it deftly into an empty net. Ewan McTeer was at this game at the Estadio Bernabeu. Hi there, Ewan. So how much does the 3-0 scoreline actually reflect the game as a whole?
Yeah, I think it's a fair scoreline. I mean, Athletic didn't really do much at all in attack, so Real Madrid did deserve a clean sheet, in my opinion. Keylor Navas made one very good save from Williams. Other than that, not much at all. And in attack, Real Madrid created enough chances that they probably did deserve to score three goals. And Benzema was at the heart of everything they did, so he deserved a hat-trick.
Yeah, we have to talk about Benzema. He is the man for Madrid right now. Showed his killer instinct. So just run us through some of the killer stats involving Benzema, Ewan.
Yeah, well, I mentioned he was involved in everything Real Madrid in the attacking sense in this game. That's been the case in the past few weeks. Eight of the last eight goals Real Madrid have scored have been by Benzema. That's quite crazy. That's never happened in Real Madrid's history. And Benzema as well, he's now got 30 goals in total for the season, just two away from his best ever haul in a Real Madrid shirt. And he's got more goals than Cristiano Ronaldo does at Juventus.
Ooh, okay. Tell us, meanwhile, about Gareth Bale's reception and his reaction.
Sorry, David, I couldn't hear you. My ears are still ringing from that whistling when he came on. It was quite bad, and not just when he came on. Whenever he touched the ball as well, those first few times, that was pretty surprising, in my opinion. I've seen him whistled when he came on before, not when he's been on the ball like that. There were a few people trying to applaud him, trying to show him that not everybody hates him, but the whistles sounded a bit louder than the applause.
Okay, one other Madrid player to ask you about. Jesus Vallejo started at centre-back. Your assessment of his performance?
Yeah, he was very good. In the second half, Iñaki Williams moved over towards his side. I was wondering at half-time why they weren't attacking Vallejo and why they were trying to attack Varane. Williams went over to Vallejo in the second half, caused him all sorts of problems, but Vallejo stood strong. The only criticism I would say was his passing. He was very nervous with his passing, almost never took a risk, but defensively, very sound.
Right, let's just focus a little bit on the transfer speculation, because there's lots of it about Jovic, Hazard, Pogba. How many of those do you think will arrive at the Bernabeu in the summer?
I think two of them will arrive, but I don't really know which two. It seems unlikely to me that they'll get all three. That would be quite an impressive summer for Real Madrid. But I think they can get one and probably two of these guys. They've all been linked. They would all serve a need. And I think Real Madrid have the money to spend.
Yeah, I think Pogba's probably the hardest of the three. Meanwhile, Athletic Club, what about their European chances now?
Yeah, it's quite complicated for them. I mean, that loss was a bit of a disappointment. But remember, if Valencia get to the Copa del Rey final, which they have done, if they don't win the Europa League, and if they finish in the top six, then seventh place will also mean it's a Europa League spot for Athletic Club. And right now, that's the place they occupy.
Okay, you and the other big game in Madrid was Getafe against Sevilla, finished 3-0 to the home side. Now, the man at the centre of this one was the referee, Mateo Laoz. He gave two penalties for handball in the first half, consulting VAR on both occasions. The spot kicks converted by Jaime Mata and Jorge Molina, and also Sergio Escudero was sent off before the second pen. Getafe then cut Sevilla to ribbons with their third. Gaku Shibasaki to Mata down the right, centering to Molina to tap in. And then Getafe defender Gené was later sent off for a challenge on Jesus Navas. So, eventful game. Let's focus on Mateo Laoz, shall we? Handballs, penalties, red cards, VAR. What was your view of his display?
Yeah, well, he was involved as he always is. Both of the penalties, I think, were penalties, but I guess it's a criticism of Mateo Laoz that he didn't spot them first time. He almost seemed a bit too focused on showing as many yellow cards as he could early on. This was always going to be a feisty game. Maybe another referee would have just had a word with some of those players for some of those early fouls. So not the best display from him, but in the end, he got all the big calls right.
Now, Jorge Molina has got 13 La Liga goals for this season, 15 in all competitions. That means it's his best scoring season as a La Liga player at the age of 37. How has he done it?
I think he's at the right team to be scoring goals. I mean, if you're a good striker up front for Getafe, you're going to score a lot of goals because, number one, they're a very good team, and number two, they don't really have players scoring from midfield. They put all the responsibility on whoever their striker is, which most of the time their main striker has been Molina. Of course, they've got Jaime Mata there as well. Of course, they've got Angel Rodriguez there as well. But Molina is always at the centre of the action with his hold-up play and with his ability to shoot as well. So he's going to get a lot of goals playing in that position he does on the team that he does.
Right, why didn't Sevilla really get going in this game though, Ewan?
Well, I think they actually started kind of well. They had probably the best of the opening 20 minutes, but then, of course, that penalty really just changed things for them, and then the red card to Escudero didn't help matters as well when they went 2-0 down. So Sevilla probably will be looking at this one wondering what exactly did they do wrong coming out from the tunnel. I don't think they did that much wrong.
Okay, so we've got Getafe fourth again on 54 points, 2 points ahead of Valencia now and Sevilla. Who's got the trickiest remaining games?
I think it's probably Getafe. They've got Real Madrid, of course, coming up. We've got a trip to the Camp Nou to come as well. And they've got to take on Villarreal, who'll probably be fighting for their lives on the final day. So I'd say Getafe maybe have the most difficult schedule. I'd say Valencia probably have the easiest one, but, and there's a big but, they have those two fixtures against Arsenal, which could take something out of them.
Thanks for that, Ewan. Well, this was our chosen game for Partidazo Predictions. No one added to their tally because none of us backed Getafe to win. So it is as you were. Paco Bolit has 28 points. Ewan and Roman are joint second on 16. I'm on 15. Alex Johnson has 12 points. That's it for part one of this podcast. And in part two, we'll focus more closely on the relegation battle in La Liga with the remaining five teams trying to avoid finishing 18th. Catch you shortly.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, Welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Redis Tukhanov and broadcast on Sirius XM FC 157 in North America. So four games down, six more to recap from match day 33. And now it's all about the scrap to avoid the drop. Now, they often say that home form keeps you up. Celta Vigo are certainly a case in point right now. It's the third win in a row at Balaidos after they beat Girona 2-1. Team goal put them ahead, finished off by Iago Aspas. Just into the second half, Porto equalised for the visitors after a very long wait for VAR to be checked and then give the goal. But Sofyan Boufal then stepped into the box and bent a right foot shot just inside the far post for the winner, despite a couple of late scares. Alex Johnson was at that game at Balaidos for La Liga Lowdown, so let's chat to her now. Hi there, Alex. So the latest man to be inspired by Iago Aspas was Sofyan Boufal, an assist and a goal for him. How has he grown in the last few games, would you say?
Well, one interesting fact with Boufal is he's actually the player with the most successful dribbles in La Liga this season, even ahead of Lionel Messi, which says a lot. And I think for me, he was one of those players who stood out even when Iago Aspas wasn't around. You could see those glimpses of brilliance of the individual skill that he possesses. The problem was that it didn't really lead to anything because he was doing it all on his own, as the team was not really a team. When Iago Aspas come back, it's a completely different Celta de Vigo where things actually leads to stuff, and we are now seeing his skills being applied into a team kind of play, and that's where it's actually becoming something out of it.
And it's three home wins in a row, which takes Celta 3 points clear of the bottom three. So how key is this next week? They've got games at Espanyol and Leganés away from home.
Yeah, for me, this is definitely the key matches for Celta. After that, they have Barcelona at home, which is a match they are still very optimistic about, but isn't a match to go for 3 points. And then they have a difficult away match at Athletic Club. And they certainly doesn't want to come into the last match round not being safe when they play Rayo. So these are the two matches to win for them, without a doubt.
And for Girona, five straight defeats now. Very worrying times for El Sebio. Is it a deep psychological thing with them now?
I think in some ways it always becomes a psychological thing when you go that many matches without a victory. But at this point, I think the even more dangerously is that it feels like the players are starting to lose the trust of their coach, of Eusebio. And when that happens, it's very, very difficult to turn things around.
Now, they switched formation at half time. They brought on Juanpe to form a back three. But they've switched formation so many times. How come they can't find the right solution when it was just so clear last season?
Well, I think Girona last season and Girona this season are very, very different teams, mainly because Pablo Machin and Eusebio are two very different coaches with different type of ideas. Also, Machin had this clear idea of what he wanted to do, how his team was going to play, while Eusebio seemingly can't decide what he wants to do. And that is quite worrying when you're at the end of the season and you still haven't figured that out. He keeps on changing his formations, his 11, and without any continuity, it's very difficult to make things work.
Yeah, Girona in real trouble. Alex, while we've got you with us, let's discuss Alaves 2, Real Valladolid 2. Alaves leading early on. John Guidetti charged down Yoel's clearance, went straight in. Then Johnny curled in a free kick, that too went straight in. A 2-0 after 24 minutes. But Joaquin Fernandez glanced in ahead of Valladolid before half-time. And then Rodrigo Eli clumsily brought down Sergio Guardiola. And who now converted the penalty to earn them a point, 2-2. Now, Alex, yes, it was a comeback. But their keeper, Yoel, had a shocker for the goals that he conceded. How do you explain him starting ahead of Jordi Masip in this game for Valladolid?
Well, Jordi Masip has had a quite really good season, I would say. I've really enjoyed seeing him. But the last few matches, he's been struggling. He hasn't been at the same level, done simple mistakes. And at this stage of the season, that can cost you a lot, which is why I think Sergio decided to give Yoel the chance, and definitely didn't work out. Though what it might have done for Valladolid is to wake Jordi Masip up a little bit and realise that his spot isn't 100% safe. And if they're lucky, he's going to return now more focused in the last few matches.
They've been called the worst team in La Liga, Real Valladolid. What's been their biggest problem?
Well, overall quality in the squad is just not at the same level as the majority of the teams in La Liga, I'd say. And when you don't have the quality, then you really need to have the attitude. And lately, that they've been missing that as well. I think that they are the team in the relegation battle who've shown the least desire, the least will. They lose points very easy in that way, and it just seems like they are giving up at some point.
And of course, injuries. I mean, Keco and Borja Fernandez went off before half-time. I mean, how bad is their injury situation?
Yeah, that is another huge weakness at Valladolid. They have so many injuries this season, and the list is just getting longer and longer, which shows another thing thing, which is the preparation just isn't at the same level as the other teams as well. And this is two injuries coming before half time in a match. They already have injuries on important players like Pablo Hervias. But if you're going to find something small positive out of it, maybe it forces them to do some changes they wouldn't have done otherwise. And you never know in this type of situation. That might just be what actually helps them.
Got to get creative. Valladolid against Girona on Tuesday. Who do you back for the win?
Oh, it's a hard one. Two teams struggling a lot. On paper, I would definitely go with Girona, especially with a player like Suani. But then you have the comeback for Valladolid against Alaves that I think psychologically will help them a lot. It's two teams struggling a lot, and this match can go either way. I think it will determine a lot, but for me, it's impossible to say.
Cheers, Alex. Well, let's head towards the east coast of Spain and another team trying to pull away from the drop zone. Well, after beating Girona last weekend, it was another vital 3 points for Villarreal. They won 2-1 at home to Leganés. Pablo Fornals found Javi Quintilla. His cross headed by Carlos Cuecambi. Pichu Cuellar parried, but Carlos Bacca pounced for the opener. And then brilliant skill from Santi Cazorla, who fed Cuecambi for their second. A lovely curled right foot effort just inside the far post before Nabil El Jar scored a late penalty for Leganés. Paco Bolita is our man in the Valencian community. Hi there, Paco. So a good week in La Liga for Villarreal. Two big wins in a row. So what's changed?
I would like to say a lot has changed, but that wouldn't actually be true. Villarreal have the same strong and weak points as lately, but in the last 10 days, they were able to bounce back from 4 disappointing scores in a row, so I think saying that their mentality has improved and gotten more resilient would be pretty much on the mark.
Now, Santi Cazorla dictated this game from start to finish. How pivotal has he been, especially since missing that penalty which would have drawn the game at Real Betis earlier this month?
He was already one of Villarreal's highlights even before that. If you take away the first 5 or 10 games this season when he was still recovering his form, remember he hadn't played for 2 years, Cazorla has been both the best player and the spiritual leader of the team. With Bruno absent due to injury and other strong personalities such as Iborra, who came late in the game this season, Santi has been excellent and crucial for Villarreal's improvement.
Now, Javi Quintilla helped set up the first goal. He seems to be being preferred to Jaume Costa and Afonso Pedraza at left back. Just tell us a little bit about him.
I saw him live in the game against Valencia 10 days ago in Stadio La Ceramica, and in an overall disappointing night for the Submarine, he was one of the few players to really deliver. He's very quick, he has lots of discipline on the left wing, and he isn't shy to run and get involved in offensive plays as it happened this weekend. In a year where the team has been in dire straits, looking at the cantera was mandatory, and it seems Javi Calleja has found a hidden gem in their academy.
And Villarreal now 4 points clear of the bottom three. Their run-in is Real Sociedad away, Huesca at home, Real Madrid away, Eibar at home, Getafe away. So how many points do they need to stay up?
I think Villarreal will be clear from danger with 2 more wins. 42 points. That's my magic number in a very balanced competition. So those home games against Huesca and Eibar are the ones to be won.
We'll see if they get there. Okay, let's go back to the race for fourth place. Teman Valencia winning 2-1 at Real Betis. Their opener came just before half-time. The substitute Rodrigo running at goal, a passing to Gonzalo Guedes, who seemed to turn into trouble, but then he fired home from distance anyway. And Guedes then repeated the trick at the start of the second half. Short corner worked to him, and the Portuguese beat Paulo Lopes again from the edge of the D. Giovanni Dos Celso converted a penalty after Gabriel's handball, and Rodrigo was then sent off for a second yellow card. Well, Paco, what a clinical display again from Gonzalo Guedes. 6 goals so far from him this month. How do you defend against him?
I don't really know. 6 goals this month, 8 goals in the last 10 games. He's just unstoppable nowadays, and that's maybe the best news for Valencia. In fact, I dare to say that without his 3-month injury and the recovery period he needed later, the team would be with a comfortable lead in the race for the fourth spot. If Barca lose Messi or Atletico can't play Griezmann, the team loses a lot of firepower. And that's what Valencia have endured this season.
What about Rodrigo's red card, Denis Cherishev's injury? How much of a setback are those ahead of Wednesday's trip to Atletico?
Well, big problems. Cherishev's injury was unlucky, and we'll still have to see if he will be able to play again this season. But it's a huge blow for Marcelino, as playing the Russian on the wing allowed him to place Guedes as second forward, and in that position, he has been riotous lately. And regarding Rodrigo's red, it was a mistake, period, but that's it. We shouldn't be too harsh on him. It will weaken Valencia against Atletico, but here's hope he becomes a crucial player once again in the remaining games.
And Real Betis, I mean, it's 4 defeats in 6 for them. Why did it take them so long to respond in this game?
Because they don't have a B plan when things don't work. Quique Setién is all about ball possession, and that worked in favor of Valencia, actually, as they could easily rob the ball and quickly make the transition into the counter offense. Betis lack imagination and resources to play a different style of football when the game requires so, and that is the difference between simple good teams and truly great teams.
And Paco, as you know, Valencia face an old boss in Unai Emery when they take on Arsenal in the Europa League semi-finals. Interesting clash of styles, this. How do Valencia approach it then?
By keeping their identity as untouched as possible. Emery's style in some way resembles Quique Setién's. He's a fan of domination of the game through possession, and we have seen that such a style benefits Valencia when their forward players are in top form. If Guedes is still on fire 15 days from now, and Rodrigo and Gamero also hit the stride, Valencia have plenty of chances of moving on to the Europa League final.
Thanks, Paco. Well, let's round up the other two games on matchday 33 in La Liga. Levante drew 2-2 with Espanyol, who opened the scoring after a brilliant flowing counter-attack finished off by Borja Iglesias. Levante equalised just after the hour. José Campaña's free kick went over everyone except Rubén Beso, who headed home at the far post. Immediately after, Víctor Sánchez's up and under was headed across goal by Naldo, and Marc Roca turned it home for 2-1. But Rubén Rochina's rocket from the edge of the box made it 2-2 before he was sent off for a rash challenge on Borja Iglesias. Levante's winless streak stretches to 9 games. Atletico Madrid snatched all 3 points at Eibar, but keeper Marco Dimitrovic almost singled handedly got the host to draw. He saved brilliantly from Angel Correa, Coque and Diego Godin before he was eventually beaten by Thomas Lemar on 85 minutes. Atleti were without both Diego Costa and Antoine Griezmann, but they keep the title race alive for another week. Here is the table then after 33 games. Barcelona top on 77 points, Atletico second on 68, Real Madrid third on 64, Getafe now go fourth on 54 points, Valencia fifth and Sevilla sixth, both on 52. At the sharp end, bottom side Huesca have 26 points. Then Rayo are second bottom on 28. Valladolid third bottom on 32. And then it's Levante on 34. Girona also 34. Celta 35. And Villarreal up to 36. Well, that's it for this La Liga Lowdown mini pod. Don't forget to keep across our Twitter feed, which is at La Liga Lowdown. Plenty of midweek action to keep you entertained with matchday 34 between Tuesday and Thursday, including Atletico versus Valencia, Valladolid Girona, and Getafe against Real Madrid. That is your La Liga Lowdown. See you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.